James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome in to Tuesday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Phone numbers open 205-342-9904 if you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning. Download that app. Get that app on your smartphone, the Tide 100.9 app. A ton of downloads each and every month, especially this time of year with Alabama football going on, Coach DeBoer's show, or Hey Coach on Wednesdays, I believe that is. But you can listen to everything going on here at Tide 100.9 if you get the app on your smartphone, regardless of where you are. So get that download. We want to thank Yellowwood. That would be pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. You want to build a five-star backyard. There's only one choice, and that certainly would be Yellowwood. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer closest to you. And always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. You want to email us? Easy. Do that at wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We'll shoot you an email back. We can read it over the air. Also on that app, there is an app message that you can send us throughout the show, and we can certainly comment on that. Dad this morning will be out. He had a doctor's deal he had to take care of, so he'll be back tomorrow. So I'll need your phone calls, 205-342-9904. We got Kevin Skarbinski will join me at the bottom of the hour. I know there'll be, with Kevin, a lot of Bruce Pearl talk here with Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn traveling to Texas A&M, and Bruce Pearl took over the news yesterday, Chase, with his retirement. I think people have been speculating this was going to happen for a while, and I basically think what happened there was, you know, he wanted his son to get the job, which you can't, any dad wants their son to succeed and get a job, and I think he felt like the longer he waited, the better chance his son would have to get it. And I think he probably talked with the people behind the scenes and worked on it. Had he done it this summer, a lot of those guys probably would have considered transferring and have been people picking at him. Now, I know they still can. They have 30 days, but people are in the middle of semester. Practice started yesterday. And so I think the timing of that, to be quite honest with you, was to have his son have the best opportunity to be successful. You got a 5-year deal. We'll get the details of it. How much? Somebody said it was $2 million, which in the grand scheme of things, as far as SEC head coaches go, it's a lot of money, obviously, but it'll give him an opportunity to have a chance, but have a chance with a really good roster. They've recruited a great roster there. They've developed quite honestly, maybe the best home court advantage in college basketball, them and maybe Duke. So I think the timing of it literally was for Bruce to allow Stephen to have the best opportunity. If you get the job in the summer and all the players leave and they get out of there, then you're not going to win. And then people are going to say it's a failure. Now he has a chance to win some games there. And then people will be high on him. Coach Pearl will be right around the corner to kind of help. I know he's learned a lot there from him. So we'll see how it goes. I know I'm not speaking for Nate Oates, but I think Nate Oates and Bruce Pearl actually got along well. They're competitors, and they wanted to beat each other, but there was respect there going both ways, kind of like when Dad and Sonny were doing it. You know, the Auburn and Alabama fans, they don't like each other, but the coaches, I hate to break it to you guys, in most situations, they kind of like each other. And so, they want to beat them, don't get me wrong, but it's a little bit different. All right, let's get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Got a couple phone calls coming in. Get to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Barry. Sorry it's been a while since I called. I've been busy.
But, good.
Hey, as a basketball coach yourself and you're a college and assistant and high school coach now, Hick, well, I was going to ask you, what do you think about Bruce Pearl? I mean, is that going to help us in recruiting for Alabama? You think we can take advantage of that in recruiting?
I don't think Alabama or Auburn do a ton of recruiting in the state. So I don't think it'll be that big of a deal. I think if Auburn, I think they're going to want this guy to be successful. I think Bruce Pearl is going to be there to help raise money, and they're going to have plenty of money, NIL money, to buy a roster. So I think if you got the money now, you can recruit. And I think Auburn will have plenty of it. And Alabama will recruit well. Auburn will recruit well. I think it's better when both programs are good. This is a national game now. So I've enjoyed it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. I mean, you and I are about the same age. I'm a few years younger than you. But you and I grew up, of course, you know, with your dad being the head coach and all. We grew up when Alabama and Auburn were basketball were really good. Competitive with your dad as the head coach and Coach Smith at Auburn back in the 80s, you know, in the 90s and all. And that's when, Joe Dean was on the broadcast, Joe Dean Sr.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mr. String Music. You know, it's going to be a barn burner, Tom. You know, he had Tom Hammond as his broadcast partner. And those were the good old days, man, the glory days, you know.
Yeah, Jefferson Pilot. That's when they were all the games. Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember it very well back in the 80s and everything. You might have been in school or graduate assistant coach or something under your dad at the time or whatever. But
right.
Remember it well. Hey, what's your take on the football game this week, Alabama and Georgia? What's your take on it? How do you think we match up?
I think we match up. I think Georgia plays a style that Alabama defends well. Alabama usually doesn't like, and maybe this was more Nick Saban than Kalen DeBoer, but teams that went fast and really running quarterbacks like you saw at Florida State. Now, Stockton can run, but he's not he's not a dynamic runner, and Georgia doesn't go real fast, or they haven't in the past. So we'll see. Usually they have played – that's why Alabama has been so successful against them. They kind of play into Alabama's hands, getting these players back, has to give them a shot in the arm there. But I think it's going to be tough, man. You hadn't been over – to Athens in a while. It's a night game. They are sick. And let me repeat, sick of hearing about Alabama and Alabama beating them. And Kirby Smart can't beat these guys. So Kirby will have those guys sky high and ready to go. Hopefully Alabama's ready. We have a great ball game.
I 100% agree with you, man. I'm hoping we win because I'm going back to I'm going to Prattville, Alabama next week, and I'm going back to Zachary, who's in my hometown, for a big high school reunion. I got to drive from South Carolina through Georgia to get to Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we win the game so I can fly my Alabama banners, my flags, on my car driving through Georgia.
Yeah, I just wouldn't stop in Georgia and leave the car with those flags.
I'm not going to stop. I don't want anybody. If I got my Alabama flags on, I'm wearing Alabama. I don't want anybody slashing my tires when I'm,
there you go.
Using the bathroom at the rest area.
There you go. Well, Mike, we appreciate it, my man.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Barry.
Thank you. All right, yeah. So we'll take the break here. We'll get to Phillip up. Phone lines are open 205-342-9904. I think the timing of them doing it was Bruce Pearl. I think it was calculated to give Steven the best opportunity to be successful with the Auburn program, not to take a dip. And we'll see how they do this year. Should be interesting. Both games, the Alabama games, are on the Saturday. So we know that the SEC office changed. That 2 minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where we go pick up the boxes, packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and all of your stuff. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. It is 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. In sports, Auburn is getting a new coach. His name is Pearl, the son of the current coach, Bruce Pearl, who announced yesterday that he's stepping down just 42 days before the new season. Pearl's son, Stephen, has been named the new head basketball coach down on the Plains. Many observers believe Pearl is resigning to run for the soon-to-be open seat of U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's decided to run for governor. But Pearl discounted that yesterday. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good morning to you. We have got a very serious situation over in Vance, and this is as you travel on the eastbound lanes of 2059 just before Dombler Bend Boulevard. Watch out for that accident knocking out several lanes, and you've got a solid delay taking you for about a
cabbage and freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
5339-7361 or visit us at 1600 Lurline B. Wallace Boulevard, Northport, Alabama. Enroll Tide.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon, the high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 69 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
Treated pine from Great Southernwood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I'm kind of happy for Bruce Pearl. Not many times, Chase, do you get to go out on top. You know, Nick Saban did it here. Bruce Pearl's doing it there. Will he coach again? We'll see. Sometimes these guys get home and he'll wake up this morning and look at his wife and say, now what do I do now? I'm sure they'll have him speaking some, but it's a little more difficult than people realize, the guys that have worked like these guys have for so long and been successful. And he'll still be in the limelight, but I think it'll be, we'll see how he adjusts to it, not having that competitive itch and being around those players and coaches each and every day. Get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Philip. How are you, sir?
Good morning, my friend. I hope you're doing good.
I'm good.
Good. I'm happy for Coach Pearl. He did a great job at Auburn, no doubt. And the rivalry between Coach Oates and Pearl was a lot of fun to watch. And I'm like you, I think they got along very well. I just can't see him getting away from helping out in some way. And I still think politics is going to be in his future. Whether it's the Senate or the Congress or whatever, but I think he's going to be in that political realm in some. some way. He is a favorite guest of Sid Rosenberg at WABC in New York, and is on that show frequently. So Bruce Pearl carries a pretty big stick.
Yeah, and he said, he did like a 14. I don't know if you saw that 14-minute video that they put together. Obviously, that spent some time with that. So this has been in the works. Have you seen that video that he put behind his desk and kind of reading about?
Yeah.
Pretty gut-wrenching, kind of, to be honest with you. He was at Tennessee when I was in South Carolina. I've always had a lot of respect for how his teams have played. And I think he cares, you know. And so, staying away will be hard. I think he's going to help Auburn. I'm sure he's a guy that can raise some money, don't you think, Phillip? So, and he's going to want his son to be successful. So he's going to help him raise some money over there to help that recruiting. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's going to be a foregone conclusion right there. And, you know, Stephen's had his hands all over that program for a few years anyway. It's not like he's going to be a novice to the situation. So, I mean, they're set up. It made perfectly good sense to me.
Yeah, I just think he wanted to leave it to him where he had a chance to win. I think if he would have done it this summer, then you got people poaching at your players, guys leaving, and he wouldn't have as good of an opportunity to win. Now he can win with this team. If he wins, then he can get a new contract and keep moving. He's got a 5-year deal, I believe. But you got to have the players, man. They got him in there, and they did it in a way to where he got the job and the program stayed intact. A lot of times that doesn't happen these days.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And I'll tell you another thing I'd like to ask you about is the announcements tonight on the opponents for the SEC teams going into next year and beyond.
Yeah.
I think we got the matchups right about a month ago. I don't think we're far off at all.
Did you like what Chris Lowe did? I get you.
I don't. I thought that was crappy.
I did too. He got the information, and if I were the SEC, I like Chris Lowe. I would take his credentials. Anytime if you're going to try to one-up us, we try to help you get into things, and you get that, and you announce it before we have an opportunity to announce it, unless they wanted him to do it, but he's gone to on three now, so he wants to make a splash here. I thought it was wrong for him to put that out. I thought the SEC should have had that opportunity to do that. Even though he didn't get a hold of stuff, I get it. Unless some reason the SEC wanted him to do that, I don't like it, to be quite honest with you.
I couldn't believe he did that. I could not believe he did it. Yeah. I mean, I would not do it because I wouldn't want to sully my reputation by doing some crap like that.
Yeah, I thought he was above that. And I just don't – I mean, the SEC's been pretty darn good to him. I don't like it, unless I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, then I'll be the first to apologize. They gave it to him. But it's supposed to come out tonight, right? Today. Is that when it's supposed to?
Days.
Yeah, yeah.
So why would they take away from their own thing?
Yeah, I don't think they would. I think he knows these people inside. I'm sure somebody, one of these universities, got a hold of it, and they probably sent it to him, and he went with it. I don't like to be first now. Everybody wants to be first. I think you got to be respectful to the SEC. Let them put it out because it's their deal there. I didn't like it, to be honest with you. I didn't hear anybody say it that way, but I didn't appreciate it.
No, I thought it was a crappy thing to do, and that's about the best word you can use, in my opinion. But I like that Alabama and Mississippi State are tied back up, and I know this will be get reviewed in a few years, and they have the right to change it, and they probably will some. But I think Alabama and Mississippi State makes sense. It gives them a little bit of a marketing thing too, where you know you've got Alabama and Mississippi State that were so close together, they can market that game, you know, as sort of a backyard brawl type thing. So I think that's good, and I think in the future Alabama and LSU will tie back up again for several consecutive years, and that probably might drop Mississippi State.
Yeah, I don't. Do you know exactly how it's going to work? So I know you got the three, and you play them every year. The other five rotate. Do you play the other five Over a 2-year cycle, then those five change, or does that change every year? Do you know?
I think they change after a 2-year cycle. Okay. I mean, kind of like what they do.
So you play everybody home and away. Home and away.
I think that's the way it's going to work. But my understanding also is that the permanent opponent arrangement can change also after a few years. Am I wrong on that?
I would think it'd have to go through probably a 4-year cycle because that way you would. I think Tennessee got the best break. They do have Alabama, but they got Kentucky and Vandy.
They got the best break.
Now they're going to get the five other teams, and they're going to be some good teams in those five. But the permanent, as far as Kentucky and Vandy, I know Vandy's really good this year, but can they keep that going? But you got to feel like if you're Tennessee, you should be able to win two of those three every year, just about, to be honest with you.
You sure should. But, well, anyway, man, we're one day closer to the big game, and I think Alabama getting Tim Keenan back is going to be a mental lift. I think getting Jam Miller back for a few plays is going to be a mental lift. That's not going to mean Alabama's going to run the ball 58 times. They're not. But it gives Alabama a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield and do something with it. And he's a leader. Keenan's definitely a leader. I just think the fact that they're going to be out there and participating is bound to be a mental lift.
Is the Georgia fan confident or nervous? Which would you say?
Over here where I am?
Yeah.
I think most of them are extremely confident. Extremely confident.
Because the game's in Athens?
That and I mean they've got a loaded roster. I mean their roster is stacked.
Really?
And you look at those receivers they've got. They've got an underrated receiving room. I mean those guys can do some damage.
Yeah.
And their fan base I think is extremely confident. I run into a few people at work, et cetera, that are kind of a little bit anxious about the game because Alabama's had their number for the last few years to an extent, but I think most of the Georgia fans over here are extremely confident, and I think Georgia's got the hedge. I mean, you just got to look at the facts. Alabama's not been a good road team recently under DeBoer. They've not played well, not performed well, didn't perform well against Tennessee last year, and in that game, I think they threw the ball around 55 times and just was a bad game. Didn't play well against FSU, played horrible against Oklahoma and Michigan. So, I mean, all that means something there. And it is what it is.
Yeah, should be fun. It'll be a late night over there in Athens. That game kicks, what, at 6:45? It's 7:45.
7:45
Athens time.
Yeah. That's terrible. That's terrible. But yeah, there's gonna be a lot of drunk fans over there. I mean,
you better believe it. All right, Philip.
You walk around and be a proud Bama fan, but they get on in there, they'll bark at you.
That downtown area makes some money this weekend. Ain't no doubt about that. Sir. So thank you, Philip.
All right. Thank
y'all. All right, guys, I'm going to give you a suggestion for the game. All right, this past weekend I was watching football, no Bama football. What did I do? Picked up the phone, called Thomas Rib Shack. I ordered some ribs, some pulled pork, some chicken, and a couple of vegetable plates with some okra. I know Dad likes okra, so I didn't tell him. I went and picked it up, and man, when you go in there, it's a great place to go for lunch. They got all the vegetables and all right there, already hot, ready to go. You just go through, they scoop it for you, and you can eat right there. But if you want to get it to go, you can call. If you want to tailgate next weekend when Alabama's playing or get a big spread this weekend for the game, I'm talking about barbecue, chicken, fried chicken, baked chicken, catfish, absolutely mouth-watering. Dad kept texting me, said, "Did you cook these ribs?" I'm like, "I wish I could, but no." He said, "This okra is perfect. It's crunchy. He likes crunchy okra." So Thomas Rib Shack, if you're going down 15th Street, you pass Central High School, keep going down before you get to the Stillman College and all that. It's right there on the left. Some absolutely outstanding barbecue. and Homestyle Cookings. Get by there today. Tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. If you want to get a gift card, take care of somebody, you could do that right there. Or give them a call today. It's 205-759-5010. Or go to the website, thomasribshack.com. All right, we get to break here. Get Kevin Skarbinski in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 a.m. WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. A very good morning to you. We have got a very serious situation over in Vance, and this is as you travel on the eastbound lanes of 2059 just before Daimler Benz Boulevard. Watch out for that accident knocking out several lanes, and you've got a solid delay taking you for about a...
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. With two locations in Tuscaloosa. Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama Beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites, from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Feel free to dial us up. We're having a hard time getting to Kevin, so if he calls in, we'll put Kevin right on. But you guys want to jump in, you can do it. 205-342-9904. Usually, always have a guest at 7:30, so now the phone lines will be open if you guys would like to jump in. All right, SEC this week. I think it's a great week, Chase. Some really sneaky good games, right out of the chute, too. 11 o'clock, Kevin says, we're on to, yep, we're trying, hey, call Kevin, I don't know, text him, he just said we're on today. Notre Dame takes on Arkansas. Arkansas, what a tough loss that was for Arkansas. And, you know, that fumble there at the end, it was tough. I guess Sam Pittman, maybe he's on the hot seat. I'm trying. Did he get him? All right, I'm texting Kevin to call us. All right. So Notre Dame, Arkansas, Utah State, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, if you look at their schedule, Vanderbilt will come here undefeated. They'll win this weekend, and I think they'll be undefeated. If Alabama were to lose to Georgia, will Vanderbilt be higher ranked than Alabama when they play this game right now? Vanderbilt, I believe, is 19. They're 4-0. They've been probably the most impressive team in the SEC, if you want to be quite honest with you. And so Vanderbilt takes on Utah State, 11:45 SEC Network. 2:30, wow, LSU takes on Ole Miss. Another excellent game there. That line has gone down. Ole Miss 1.5-point favorite in that particular ball game. Auburn, Texas A&M, a big game here for Auburn. I think it's tough for the SEC to make a team like any team really going two straight road games. Alabama hadn't even played the SEC game here. Auburn's going to play two straight road games against Texas A&M. So that makes it tough. Tennessee takes on Mississippi State. Mississippi State's been one of the other surprise teams, them and Oklahoma, and probably Vanderbilt, although Vanderbilt has Diego Pavia back from last year. But Tennessee, Mississippi State, line 7.5 there. So that should be a good ball game. Alabama, Georgia. Will that line change? Right now it's sticking at 2.5. I think it'll go up, Chase. I think it may get to 4. I think it was 3.5 at one point. It's 2.5 now. And it stuck at 2.5 for this day. The 52.5. And that seems kind of high, 52.5. And so we'll see. UMass takes on Missouri. No game there. Missouri will steamroll them, 43.5-point favorite. And then Kentucky, South Carolina. South Carolina needs to win this game for sure. They've got a tough schedule ahead of them as well, and dropping that game right there at Missouri. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline, get Kevin in. Good morning, Kevin. We've had a hard time catching you this morning. You doing all right?
I am. Sorry about that. I've been having some issues with my phone lately.
Yeah. I'm flying solo today, so Dad's had a little situation there, but everything's good to be back tomorrow. Let's talk Bruce Pearl for a minute. I think...
Sure.
Did they orchestrate this to get it to this point? Practice started yesterday. If you do it in the summer, I think you lose players probably. If you wait till when they waited, it gives Steven the best opportunity to be successful. I don't think Bruce Pearl just came to the conclusion that he was going to retire. I think he wanted to, as any father would, leave the job for his son. He figured out the best way to do it, and also the best way for him to be successful. Now he's got a loaded roster. I don't think people will leave right here in the September. Just your thoughts about the entire situation and how it was handled.
Yeah, the timing is curious / suspicious, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
But the succession plan has been in place for some time.
Sure.
When they gave Bruce what essentially was a lifetime contract some years ago, which still has, I think, 5 years to go on it, it wasn't put in writing, but there was an understanding that this was going to happen at some point. Now, players have no option now. Yes, they technically have a 30-day transfer window. However, what school has not already been in session for a month?
Right.
You know, we always forget that part of it. You still have to get enrolled. If you were to transfer, you have to get enrolled. You have to be able to take classes. And most schools started in mid to late August. So I don't know if there's any schools even out there where you could become a student at this point in the semester, let alone join the basketball team. So they probably don't have a choice. I don't like it from that standpoint. And clearly, he didn't wake up yesterday and just like Saban has always said, you know, he didn't really decide until that morning. He was leaning in that direction. Whether that was true or not, I guess we'll never totally know. But Auburn had all of this prepared. I mean, a 14-minute video that Bruce did, all these the signage. There was a billboard up already in Montgomery yesterday afternoon or evening, saying thank you, Bruce, or something like that. So this was in the works. I don't know how long exactly it had been in the works, but I also, and look, Gene Bartow was a friend. Murray Bartow is a friend. I saw that happen here at UAB. I'm just concerned that when you're at the level that Auburn basketball, as far as who should succeed him, I understand. I'm a father. I understand, like you said, exactly why Bruce wanted Steven to get the job. But it would make me nervous if I were an Auburn fan. It would make me very nervous. Steven Pearl is now the only head coach in the SEC who has never been a head coach before. Every other coach in the league was a head coach before they got their current jobs. Not to mention, Steven has never worked for anyone but his father in the basketball world. He played for his dad at Tennessee. He started at Auburn as assistant strength and conditioning director. Then he became director of basketball operations. Then he became a head coach. Yes, he's been an important part of what they've built. But all of those factors would make me nervous. How is he going to compete against Nate Oates, John Calipari, Mark Pope, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all the guys, you know, all the winners, Chris Beard, you know, you can go on and on, all the winners in the league. And the league's as good as it's ever been, top to bottom. That's a tough ask for a first-time head coach. Because as much as he's been a part of the program, you know this. I mean, assistant coaches do a lot. Absolutely they do. But the head coach is the boss. And the head coach makes the game day decisions. He makes the in-game decisions. Yes, his assistants contribute and they offer suggestions. Big difference when you take that you move over one seat.
Yeah, but I think he gets it with the program in great shape. Most of the time when a job's like this open, it's a guy getting fired because they've been losing. When it happens in the summer, you lose your roster. So it gives him an opportunity with a loaded roster, with the best home court advantage in previous years, probably in college basketball. And so it gives him the best chance to be successful. I don't think they would be real patient if he had to build it. You let him go through some growing pains. So this kind of sets it up for him nicely. It sets it up for Auburn. Bruce Pearl will be right there working with John Cohen, and you got to believe, Kevin, he's going to be fundraising for recruiting for NIL, and they're going to have no problem buying a roster. So I think as far as a transition and all go, it's probably about as good as you could do. Now, the timing of it, I think they did kind of handcuff these players, so they probably brought them in, and Coach Pearl probably talked to them as a team and individually to make sure nobody was going to leave. I think if the whole roster was going to get out of there, he probably would have stayed for the season. But so it gives Steven the best chance to be successful the way this has been done.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, and he's, as you said, he's going to have Bruce there, not looking over his shoulder, but beating the drum for him, cheerleading for him, raising money for him. He's there as a sounding board when he needs him. In fact, someone made this suggestion, and this may be, I didn't research it yet, but I'm not sure any Auburn head coach in basketball or football has ever walked into a situation as good as the one Steven Pearl is inheriting.
Yeah.
And the difference is, when Bruce Pearl got there, that was a woebegone program. It historically was one of the worst in the SEC. They'd had pockets of success with Sonny Smith and Cliff Ellis and going back to Joel Leaves, but they were as down could be. Now, they're coming off a Final Four. They were two wins away from a national championship. They're coming off an SEC championship. My question is, how patient are they going to be with the inevitable growing pains that Steven's going to suffer? And And look, their roster doesn't look, it looks good. It looks competitive. It doesn't look as good as last year's. But I don't know that we thought last year at this time they were going to win 32 games, win the SEC, and go to the Final Four. We thought they'd be good. I thought they'd be really good. But this roster, you know, on paper doesn't look as strong as that one. But it's still a competitive roster. So he's going to be expected to win games. He's not going to be expected to win 32, but, you know, we'll see how it turns out. But it was, yeah, as a dad orchestrating a succession plan for your son, I don't think you could have worked it any better.
All right, let's flip to football here. I didn't like Kevin. Now, maybe if you could tell me if the SEC gave this information to Chris Love. I don't think it's that hard to get. I didn't like the fact that he reported this. I thought the SEC should have been able to report this however they wanted, unless for some reason they wanted him to. I know, you get information. Sometimes you have to decide, do I go with it? Am I going to be first? Yeah. Or do I hold it? The SEC's been pretty darn good to Chris Lowe, and I have a lot of respect for Chris Lowe, and I may be talking off base here. You'll fix it, I know, if I am. But if I were the SEC and he did this on his own, I'd have a hard time giving him credentials for anything. That would make me so mad that he didn't let us do it properly if it comes out today that he's 100% right. Just your thoughts about the entire situation. And am I off base there as far as Chris Lowe reporting the three permanent opponents for football?
I think you're over the top on that, Barry. And I'll say this, Chris, and you said
I like
it, and
Chris.
I'll second it.
Yeah.
Chris is an outstanding person as well as a reporter.
Sure.
And he has established his credentials over a long period of time. And if you're a reporter, and his primary role is to break news before and find out stuff and tell people before anybody else. And he's very good at it because he's established so many contacts at so many places. So if you get information like that, you're not going to sit on it. You shouldn't sit on it. That's your job as a reporter to share that kind of information. The fault is with whoever shared the information with Chris Lowe.
Yeah.
That's where the problem is. And look, it could have come from someone at one of the schools. It could have come from someone at the SEC office. It's really hard to pin down where he got his information. I don't even really care. I trust when he reports stuff, though, it's correct and it came from good sources.
Yeah.
So that's the way I would look at it. But I understand what you're saying. It does undercut their reveal tonight, the TV show on the SEC network in which they're going to reveal this. But it's so hard to keep information under wraps these days. There are so many reporters out there. There's so many people that get information that just like to. Barry, it's amazed me through the years. I've been on phone calls or in person interviews, and I'll think to myself, I can't believe this person is telling me this. They know I'm going to report it. You know, they know that I'm a reporter. They know that unless we say before the conversation begins, this is off the record, that I might report what you tell me. I'm going to put it out in the world if I can verify it, depending on, you know, what it is. I might need other sources to confirm. But so it is amazing sometimes what people will share. But it certainly did put a pin in it. The funniest thing about this whole subject is the online conspiracy theory, and there have been a lot of those, especially since Saturday and the Auburn-Oklahoma game, that the SEC wanted this information out there to distract from all the complaints about the officiating in the Auburn-Oklahoma game and give people something else to talk about. It's like, hey, look at this shiny object over here. Stop bitching about what happened in Norman and start talking about who your team's going to play every year. I don't put any stock in that, but it's pretty funny.
That leads me to this AI stuff. Jenny, my wife's mother, she'll send me all that. I was like, Mimi, that's fake. That's fake. So now she's gotten to the point where she sends, is this real or is this fake? And people were sending that to me about Bruce Pearl yesterday. I said, well, I think that's real. It's enough people are reporting that. What can be done about this, Kevin? This has gotten ridiculous, to be honest.
It's dangerous.
It is.
It's absolutely dangerous. Michael Casagrande did a great story on this for AL.com, I want to say back in the summer, because it's been almost an epidemic as far as Alabama football is concerned. All of these crazy Facebook posts and, you know, and it is out of control. It puts more responsibility on media consumers than ever to be discerning about what you're reading. And that's why even when I saw the news, and I saw about Bruce Pearl yesterday, I had just finished recording my podcast, and I got a phone call, I got texts, and then I saw that ESPN had reported it. First thing I did was pick up the phone and call someone that I knew would know to confirm it before I put anything out on social media, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it is dangerous. I don't know what you do about it. I mean, I am all for free speech, obviously, having been in the journalism world for as long as I have, but there's a responsibility involved in that as well. And too often, it just gets, the responsibility just doesn't exist, and truth gets trampled on. And then the larger issue to me in the business I'm in is then people, well, then they use this phrase, the media. I have railed against this for years. I am not the same as somebody else, whoever you, I am me. Judge me for me. Don't say, well, there goes the media, as if we're all guilty, as if we all get marching orders from the same man behind the curtain. We don't. I can assure you of that. All I can say is, as a reader, as a listener, as a viewer, you got to be careful about what you're reading, what you're viewing, and what you're listening to.
All right, Saturday night around 11 p.m. I don't know if that's Eastern or Central. It doesn't matter. The Alabama-Georgia game's over. One of these fan bases is going to be absolutely beside themselves, Matt, Kevin. If it's DeBoer, if Alabama loses, DeBoer can't win on the road. He's not tough enough. We can already hear all the stories. If Georgia loses, Kirby can't beat Alabama. Somebody's getting crushed on Saturday night, unfortunately. Regardless of the outcome, it's going one way or the other, right?
Well, yes, but I would say that the depth of despair will be much deeper if Alabama loses for that fan base.
Okay.
Because Georgia already knows they lost Alabama last year. They can lose to Alabama and win the SEC. They can lose to Alabama and get to the playoff. They can lose to Alabama and win a national championship. They've done all of those things. So, you know, yes, they'll be upset, and yes, that monkey will remain on Kirby's back, and that will be their, Alabama will continue to be their white whale. But it won't affect the big picture and their bigger goals. However, if Alabama loses this game, now you got two losses before the end of September. Now you've got another road loss, adding to that mystery of why Kalen DeBoer's teams have been so good at home and just so inconsistent and downright bad at times on the road. Then that becomes a problem. Then you have no margin for error going forward. You pretty much have to win out or close to it. Maybe you could go 9-3 and get in the playoff. You just don't know what everybody else is going to do. And the SEC is so deep, you're probably going to have a lot of teams with losses. The conference champion, I think, will be 6-2 at best. So, you know, the margin for error is thinner for Alabama simply because they've already lost a game to Florida State.
Yeah, I would agree. But I think Kirby will take on a lot there if they were to lose, especially at home. Night game, I think it's going to be tough. I'm surprised the line's that low, to be honest with you. We'll see if it changes as it gets 2.5. Maybe it just seems like there'll be more money pouring on Georgia, and maybe it will by the end of the week. Just your thoughts about Auburn, A&M. I think it's difficult, man, when the SEC makes you play two road games in a row, and Alabama hadn't even played a conference game. Seems like they need to kind of all start the conference games at the same time. But some people played two, some people played none. Just your thoughts about where Auburn is headed to College Station this weekend.
Yeah, their schedule certainly was front-loaded. with difficulty. And I don't know. I haven't looked at the entire schedule front to back, but I would venture to say the way the season has played out certainly thus far, that nobody will have played a tougher back-to-back road swing than Auburn at Oklahoma and at A&M. As good as those teams look, as good as those teams have been so far, this is a huge test for Hugh Freeze and that coaching staff. You're coming off it was just a gut punch to lose that game at Oklahoma, because despite everything that went wrong, despite all the mistakes that you made, forget the officials, forget all the mistakes, despite all the mistakes that Auburn made, they took the lead in the fourth quarter with 7 minutes left, and they couldn't hold it. And then when they lost it, they couldn't get it back, and they completely just imploded on that last drive. So what's the mindset of that team? Are they angry? Are they going to linger on what happened at Oklahoma, or have they turned the page completely, mentally? That's the big question. They're good enough. They were good enough to beat Oklahoma. They just didn't do it. I think they're good enough to beat Texas A&M, but you're in year three now. Coming close is not going to cut it. Hugh Freeze is 2-7 in one-score games at Auburn, and they all look the same. Here's a stat that's startling to me. Auburn has lost 15 games under Hugh Freeze. In those 15 losses, they have averaged 15.5 points a game. What's his area of expertise? Allegedly, offense. They're losing primarily because their offense doesn't get it done. And the overall picture for the good things they did Saturday, their offense didn't get it done. Too many sacks, too many poor decisions by Jackson Arnold to hold the ball, missing open receivers, missing a guy in the end zone for a touchdown, et cetera, et cetera. At some point, you got to make those plays, and at some point, your offense has to step up against a quality opponent. And they better do it Saturday, or they're going to be 0-2 in the SEC.
All right. Lastly, if Alabama were to lose and Vanderbilt were to win, which I think Vanderbilt's going to win, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, has Vanderbilt ever been ranked higher than Alabama during one of their matchups?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day when the poll came out on Sunday. And yeah, and they were back to Alabama 17, Vandy 18. I thought the same thing. I don't think this has ever happened before. I didn't look it up to verify, but I think it's almost certain that now my lifetime is a lot longer than yours. But I don't know that it's ever happened in my lifetime, because my lifetime includes, you know, Bear Bryant coaching at Alabama and Nick Saban, of course, and Gene Stallings, and I don't know. I doubt that it's ever happened before. Maybe it happened back in the 30s or 40s or something. I don't know. Maybe during years Whitworth's tenure. I don't know. But it's extraordinary to even think about how strong Vandy looks. Not just that they're winning. I mean, they're just destroying people.
Yeah.
And they get Alabama, just as they did last year, in the perfect spot. No matter what happens on Saturday, no matter what happens in Athens, Vanderbilt's gonna feel really good about itself going into that Alabama game. And Alabama's either going to be celebrating a massive victory, as they did last year after Georgia, or they're going to be feel like their season is on the brink. So advantage Vanderbilt, I think, from a mental standpoint.
Lastly, this last question. Dabo. It's almost like he's threatening the Clemson fan. I didn't hear what he had to say about after the Syracuse game, but hey, I'm not done coaching. I'm 55 years old. I'll go somewhere else where I'm appreciated. I don't know about that kind of talk, Kevin. I love Dabo. That sort of turns me off a little bit. He has done a great job, and I do think they should appreciate him and this, that, and the other. But come on. I think it backfired on him. Your thoughts about how Dabo's handling this?
Well, it certainly backfired the way they didn't perform against Syracuse. I think all coaches, all people are thin-skinned to some degree.
Sure.
Nobody likes to be criticized. The problem is when you attain the level of success that he has, if you start thinking you're above criticism, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And as far as I can see, no one's criticizing Dabo's career. No one's criticizing him, for what he's accomplished over his tenure at Clemson. They're concerned about where the program is now and what the trend is and why it didn't change this year when everybody saw, almost everyone expected it to change for the better. And it said it changed for the worse. So what's going on now? You're judged every day as a coach on what you're doing now. That doesn't mean that people don't appreciate what you accomplished. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer to me right now. If he does walk away right now and go to the beach or go to the lake or wherever he would go, his vacation home in South Florida, he's already a Hall of Famer. But you're still coaching. You're still evaluated. There's still a scoreboard. And yeah, if you want to take it personally, I think he could have handled it better. But he's, again, he's not used to this. He's not used to, and it's happened now for several years, so that's what makes it worse. He's used to everybody celebrating him, and now they're not celebrating him. And obviously it bothers him personally. So, yeah, I think he could handle it better. But we'll see. He's got to coach his way out of it, or he's going to have to think about coaching somewhere else. Not that they're going to fire him. Don't get me wrong. No, they're not going to fire him.
I get it.
He will leave Clemson when he wants to leave Clemson. But does he want to leave on a high note? That's the question.
But all you're right. All coaches, really all people, are thin-skinned. They just don't usually let you know that you're getting to them. They get in front of the camera and they give the coach speak. Maybe that's what he did. He was being honest in front of the camera, but that's pretty rare to see that. And so I thought it was.
Yeah,
I was actually hoping that Clemson would win because he seemed to be doing it loyal to his players, not going in the portal that much, trying to develop within and not kicking these kids to the curb that maybe they made a mistake on. And, of course, I got a son-in-law who's the biggest Clemson fan ever, and he's mad because they hadn't adjusted to the times. I was hoping that the old way would work. But it hasn't so far.
Well, look, the greatest coaches, Nick Saban, Bear Bryant, at some point you have to make drastic adjustments to what you're doing, whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's in recruiting, whether it's in game planning, whether it's in offensive style. You know, Bear Bryant going from a passing game, Joe Namath, Ken Stabler to the wishbone, Nick Saban going from winning games 10-3, 7-3, you know, relying on defense in the running game to beating Auburn 55-44 and bringing in Lane Kiffin. You got to make drastic, at some point, you always have to adjust. But sometimes you got to make a drastic adjustment. And it seems like Dabo has refused to do that. And if he continues down this path, they're going to continue to get the same results.
Tell everybody where they can find you, Kevin.
Yeah, follow me on X/Twitter at Kevin Skarbinski. Keep up with my columns every week on AL.com and the Birmingham News. And you can watch my podcast, Scarbo Knows, Kevin Skarbinski-Scarbo Knows on YouTube.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Barry. Have a great day.
All right, we'll take this already past the top of the hour break. Phone lines will be open the rest of the show, 205-342-9904. You're just a tie, 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers took the late ball game 6-3 over San Francisco. No decision for Clayton Kershaw. He pitched 4 1/3 innings, 6 strikeouts, 4 walks. That could be his last start in L.A. He's retiring after this year. The Dodgers officially clinched a playoff spot as Arizona lost at home 8-2 to Philadelphia. San Diego was beaten 4-3 at the White Sox. The Mets downed Washington 12-6, while Cincinnati beat the Cubs 7-4. Losses for Toronto and the Yankees, but Boston was a winner at Tampa Bay, 11-7. Detroit has lost 7 of 8, their lead in the AL Central down to 2.5 games over the Guardians. Detroit was beaten at home 10-1 by Atlanta. Cleveland won its 8th game in a row, 6-2 at Minnesota. And Seattle's alone in first in the AL West after winning at Houston 4-0. College football wins for Iowa and Tulsa. WNBA playoffs, Phoenix eliminated New York.
It's time to win some cash on WTBC and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Here is this hour's cash code.
The code is...
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. As far as the immediate area is concerned, we're not doing too shabby, but as you head east into Vance, watch out for this accident on 2059 on the eastbound lanes, and that is in between Covered Bridge and Donler Bend Boulevard. You had this accident. And
the Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back. We're inside the locker room. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can look at all the new inventory, pre-owned inventory, schedule service, rent a Toyota. I'll tell you every day about that Tundra. Look at that Toyota Tundra. Great deal on that. 1.99 APR for the first 72 months. The Camry's great vehicle. 3.75 APR for 36 months. If you want to see everything they got, you can do it right on the website. Or swing by Skyland Boulevard. We'll talk to Justin tomorrow. He's at 3325 Skyland Boulevard, as he always tells you each and every Wednesday. They are not in love with anything. All right, we got Dad on now. Good morning. How you doing this morning?
Barry, I'm doing really good. He injected my leg. I've had a problem with a nerve in my leg. I was hit some time ago, and Dr. Sproul is very, very good. And hopefully, my back's not going to get well, but it was the leg today, not the back. So anyway, when I got on the show, I didn't know I was going to be able to be on. I heard you talking about something that happened. I know about Bruce. I got a note from him today. I didn't know what had happened. Something had happened. I wasn't sure what it was. So I don't remember what you're talking about.
I don't know. What do you mean? What happened?
Okay. I thought there was something interesting that you were talking about. I thought it was interesting, but I didn't know what.
I was talking to Kevin about Dabo.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was just that. And then I was talking about 11 o'clock Saturday night. One of these fan bases for Alabama, Georgia, is going to be extremely upset. If it's Alabama that loses, then. They're going to keep, well, he can't win on the road. He's not tough enough. If Georgia loses, then Alabama has mastered Kirby Smart. So one of these fan bases, regardless of what happens, is going to be mad at their coach. That's the way it is in college football at this level.
You're right. That's a good point. That's right. And I think also in Dabo's case, I think if you want to go ahead and say what you tell your fans what you have done, they already know. And then I think after that you leave it at that. I don't think you go any further with it if you lose another game. I think you just leave it alone. You're not going to get yourself fired over losing three games. That's the kind of record he's had. But I think you, if you want to express to him, you know, what you've been able to do to kind of take up for yourself, so to speak, But I think after that, if things, you know, if it really becomes a bad season, I don't, they're going to start saying, well, Dabo did it the wrong way. He should have done it this way and that way. And I think that's, you know, just part of coaching and part of the problems you have when you get beat.
Well, I told Kevin I was hoping they would win because he was doing it different. He wasn't going to the portal. He was trying to be loyal to the guys that he signed and developed within, and he was ranked so high that it looked like, man, just being loyal and not, I mean, getting maybe a portal guy here or there, but not bringing in 20 and 30 new guys. And I'm not saying he's going to go do that now. I just don't think he believes in that. So I was hoping his way would work. Now I think they're going to have to at least reevaluate it, maybe spend more in NIL, and also maybe use the portal more than they have in the past.
I think to some degree that's true. I also think, and most people are going to disagree with this, that to a little bit of extent, Georgia does that. Not as far as, not so much as giving the money they give them, but when they get them in there, they try to get guys in there, I think, that are glad to be there, interested in being there, not quite so much about the money. I know they do a good job recruiting, and I know they pay them. I got all that. But I think maybe they try to emphasize that with their coaching staff to sort of go kind of a little bit tougher than Dabo does, but not to the extent that some teams do. So I think they're a little bit different. Now they are in a state that has players, a lot of players, and so that's big. But they've done well doing it the way they do it as well.
Yeah,
everybody does a little bit different.
Yeah, we just got to figure out, and then I talked a lot about Bruce Pearl. I think he wanted his son to get the job. I think he's known for a while he wasn't going to coach, and he wanted to make it to where he could keep the roster intact, where his son would have the best chance to be successful. Doing it now, the day of practice, gives him a loaded roster. They're not loaded, but a good roster where they can't leave, and now he can – because taking this job following him is not going to be good, especially if you can't win. This gives Steven the best chance to win the way he's done.
Well, you know, you don't show the contract. Contract will be such that if things don't go well, things will work out pretty smoothly. I don't know if they will work out or not. They're never going to win. You follow somebody successful. I did that to some degree, but I think. You know, the buyout situation and the contract situation, money-wise, I think it's kept pretty close. He and athletic director have known this for some time. That he's getting out, and I don't know if he's going to run or not. He says he's not. Let me explain this to our people about voters. You think everybody's going to vote for a guy because you can't imagine the people that don't know who the basketball coach is at Alabama or Auburn. Now, all people listening to the show, yes. But if you take a guy digging in a ditch, you ask him who the basketball coach was at Alabama when I was coach, they wouldn't have any idea. I'm not talking about just these coaches. But there are thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of people who don't know who the basketball coach is. And so that name will help some in voting. All the Auburn people are going to vote for him. Well, a lot of the Auburn people don't live in this state. So they're not going to be able to vote for him. It's so different than what people realize. You know, there would be some, and people will hang up and laugh at this. There would be a lot of people who don't know who football coaches are. That's certainly not to the degree that basketball. It's double basketball, football is, about who they would know. If you ask 10 people, seven of them know who the football coach was. Four of them know who the basketball coach was. It's not like, as we on the show, you and I have grown up, you've grown up with me, and I've grown up with, you know, all three of you boys, knowing, we know, keeping up with all that kind of stuff. But they're just people that just absolutely go to the polls and just don't do it that way. Now, Tommy Tuberville is going to walk off to the race. He's going to be our governor. It's over. It won't even be close. I don't think whether Bruce is going to fool with it or not. I don't know. It says he's not, so probably he's not. But I think sometimes we have an idea that because he is a name in our minds, that he is not a name in other people's minds who daily live doing something else besides sports.
Yeah, we'll see what he does. I think he'll hang there for a year or two and help him with fundraising and help Steven with NIL money so those guys can recruit at a high level. Whether you've been a head coach now or not, that don't matter anymore as far as recruiting goes. It's who's got the Benjamins that can recruit, and I think Bruce Pearl makes sure that that staff has it, and they'll be able to recruit fine. All right, we'll take the break here. Phone lines be open 205-342-9904. You list the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC is the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Oh, but we've got some heavy troubles right now on Lurleen Wallace, moving in the northbound lanes at 15th Street. You want to watch out for this accident. It's got the right lane blocked, and you have got solid brake lights taking you back to just shy of
freshly prepared pico de gallo. Try it today at a participating U.S. Taco Bell location while supplies last. Contact store for participation, which varies.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Fusackli's Chicken Fingers, the only sack you can cheer for and eat. Can't fake the foo.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane, the best pregame fan fest in college football. Visit championslane.com for updates throughout the season. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Huber. On today's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Alabama wide receiver Jeremy Bernard.
That's my guy, man. I love Grubb. He's always intense. He's a very diligent guy. You know, he hones in on the details. And so, I mean, I answer this question a lot. Like, the system isn't really changing a whole lot. But, like, since he went to the NFL and came here, he's brought an offensive system here. So, you know, it's not really like a college playbook to, like, the full extent. It's more, it's all combined together. You know what I'm saying? So it gives us, as an offense, an opportunity to see how we're going to conduct things on the next level and how things are ran. And then just, I mean, he's an aggressive OC, and, you know, he makes opportunity for the guys, you know, to make plays, and we have a lot of them, so.
I'll have more in a moment. Tide fans, are you ready for game day in Tuscaloosa? Don't miss the ultimate pregame experience this season at Vector Security Champions Lane. Opening 4 hours before each home game, this fan fest has everything you need to get pumped for kickoff. Located next to the Walk of Champions, you'll enjoy live music, player autographs, the best food trucks from all over Alabama, and ice cold beer in our Legends Lounge beer garden, where there's never a cover charge. Check out championslane.com each week for the latest updates. Roll Tide! Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Vector Security Champions Lane. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9.
It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. The coaches met with the media yesterday. Real quick, Chase, let's play Kane Womack, defense coordinator for Alabama. We'll go over to Georgia for the first time with the Crimson Tide, and here was his opening statement yesterday.
Georgia, and answer your questions, I do want to just take a minute offer my condolences to one of my good friends, Sean Clark, and his family, Janelle, and their two kids, Braxton and Gianna. To hear of his passing, you know, the last couple of weeks, we've gotten updates, and just a sad moment. And, you know, you think about a person that I would want my sons to be coached by. I can't think of anybody in this profession that better than Sean Clark. He's a fantastic human being, great energy, loyal, thoughtful, and certainly I was glad to be able to call him my friend. So, you know, the profession is tough sometimes when you lose people in any profession, but certainly you move on and you continue to work and do the things that you need to do. And so, you know, for this week, looking at Georgia, we're certainly excited about this opponent. Have tremendous respect for Coach Smart and Coach Bobo and the way they operate offensively. I think they've done a really good job with their quarterback and Gunnar Stockton. I think he's operating very efficiently right now. You know, I think what they're doing with him and the grit and toughness that they have shown, great football team that will be a tremendous challenge. You know, they've shown some grit and toughness on the road as they showed in last week in Knoxville. And that's something that, you know, we've got to become more consistent as a football team of how we handle adversity on the road, and can't think of a better place than being able to test and prove that than Athens, Georgia this upcoming Saturday. So looking forward to the game, and there's a lot of work to be done between now and then, and certainly our players have done a great job in the bye week in preparing ourselves to kind of get a jump on the week. So we're in a good place. Looking forward to the work in the week ahead.
All right, just get to one more clip on Dick Dad's thoughts. He talked about, they asked him about stopping Georgia's running game. Here's what Kane Womack had to say about that.
Defense is executing run fits right now.
Yeah, I think you know, we are taking strides. Every team is, you know, working to get better, you know, and those are the things that I've told our guys. Everybody has issues right now, but everybody's got to work to get themselves better, and the good teams are the ones that just better themselves week by week. I think our run fits are improving as we go. I don't think we're where we, you know, want to be, and certainly I think there's some things that we've put on tape that we're going to have to answer for as we go down the season, things that I would imagine Georgia and other teams in the SEC are going to try to expose. And so we want to make sure that we have a plan for those things. But I think our guys have been very locked in. The work that we've done thus far, we've had a good offseason or bye week, off week of practice. And I think for, you know, you think about this team, this is a tough, gritty, their backs run hard, they're physical. And so it's ultimately going to be about, you know, bringing a grown man to the ground, right? And the physicality that it takes to do that over and over. Because I think Coach Bobo does a really good job of just staying committed to the run game as it goes on. And those are like body blows in a boxing match, right? You got to be able to match pound for pound for as many times as they want to run the ball.
Just your thoughts on what he said there.
Well, I think, Barry, I don't think as much you can say.
If you want to say
it's a coach speak, and some people would say that a little bit, but I don't think as much you can say. You need to, you know, you need to talk about your effort and getting better in tackling and the things that the opponent does and brag on them, because they don't have to brag on them. They are good. Bobo's is better than the Georgia people think he is, offensive coordinator. So I think he came across fine. He didn't tell you anything about what they were going to do alignment wise or any particular player that that Georgia had. But I do think that I think he did. I think it was what it was, but not much you can say.
Yeah, ain't much. Except, I mean, you ain't gonna say we had a bad week of practice. I mean, yeah, you're gonna say that. All right, let's go down this last one. What has he seen from this team as late to give him confidence this weekend against Georgia? Play that clip for me, Chase, please.
You know, the first thing is you look at like some self-scout things, you know, what have we put on tape? What are we going to have to answer for as the season goes on? What are we doing well? What do we need to continue to show and do more of? So those are different elements, personnel, matchups, all those types of things. But I think for us, keeping the main thing, I think, you know, getting our cleats in the ground, identifying where the ball declares and then playing a swarm D football mentality. And I think that's something that our players have kind of leaned into. We have done a good job of you know, really the last year and a half here of playing with great offensive recognition that did not show up really any way near the standard in the first game. And so getting back to playing that style of recognize where the ball's, you know, going to be, where the ball declares, and then going and finishing and playing. I think that's something that we've got to make sure continues as we get into SEC play.
All right. I was.
I think you and I, Barry, probably, I don't, not trying to speak for you, but I think you and I feel like that the one thing that you have to do show is the toughness. I hate to keep using the word playing hard, but being tough, mentally tough, and playing. Yeah, hard and tackling and being tough-minded and act like a defensive team that you can be. I think that's the key for Alabama. I think you probably agreed to some extent with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why they make the coordinators meet with the media. I just let the head coach do it and them guys get to work because there's not a lot they can say. So anyway, it's should be a great game. Should be a great atmosphere is what college football is all about. And some good sneaky games this weekend. All right, let's go ahead and tell them about Bryant Bank. Then we'll get back and we'll get the vinegar tip for this Tuesday.
Before I get to Bryant Bank, I do want to say that, you know, the offensive line has got to block in order for the quarterback to play the way he's capable of playing. I think that's key. I'm gonna tell you right now, folks. This guy can put it in your bread basket. He can throw it well if he just has a minute. Bryant Bank will do you well if you go by there. Personal business account either one. They're interested in the community. They're interested in you. They would be darn sure that your money is safe, and that's very important that you can bank online around the block. And so go by Bryant Bank and visit with them. They'll know you the second time in there if they don't know you the first time. A lot of full banks in the Tuscaloosa area, banks close to Barry and I. So I think it'd be to your advantage to go by there and tell them you heard it on Inside the Locker Room.
All right, we get back. We'll get the vinegar tip for this Tuesday, brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance. This is Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've got some major havoc on 359 on the northbound lanes just past 17th Street. That accident has traffic crawling and, well, it's blocking out several lanes. And so your backup is solid to 2059. And then we've got our issue on McFarland. Looking at this accident.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9.
I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would.
to Inside the Locker Room. You're right to the vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500, located 302 Merchants Walk, Suite 200. Where is that? Right across from Indian Hills, right there by Talbot's.
Yeah.
Go see Mike. He'll take great care of you.
I owe Michael, some gratitude for helping me out yesterday with my tire on my car. He gave me some advice as to what to do about it, and I appreciate it very much, and it helped me a great deal. Okay, Michael's a good friend. Some time ago, I told you about the wet vinegar method to cut down warts, and people love that. Today, I've got a dry method to cut down on warts. Warts are awful looking. You just don't need a bunch of warts so you don't look good. So what you do, you wet the wart thoroughly with apple cider vinegar. That's going to be a dry method. That's just the only wet part there. Before the vinegar dries now, you'll sprinkle the wart with baking soda. Put the baking soda on the wart. Now, leave the vinegar and the baking soda in place for 15 minutes. Just leave it there. Go do whatever you got to do and let it stay right there, baking soda and the baking soda and apple cider vinegar on there, at least until the baking soda dries anyway. Then brush it off and repeat this treatment 5 or 6 times per day until the wart gives up. The wart's going to give up. It's going to turn in its uniform. It's going to quit. So go try that, and those old ugly warts that you got, that's the dry method. So try that. It's going to be baking soda and apple cider vinegar, and do it 5 times a day. That's it.
And that wart will give up?
Yeah, it's give up. It'll give up.
Mm-hmm. Chase, you ever seen a wart give up? You're not putting the right apple cider vinegar on it. All right, that's brought to you by coverageattown.com. That's where you can find Michael McDwyer and all his insurance right there. You can go ahead and start a quote right there at the website or call him today, 205-752-8500. All right, get to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Cowboy?
Hey, Cowboy.
I've been coaching, Barry. You know, I heard this the other day, and I'm going to give him my little vinegar tip here and then ask Coach if something might work. You know, Harris 30% vinegar, you can get that at Home Depot, and that's for outside exterior use on cleaning and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Coach was talking about last week, wiping doors and grease and all that kind of stuff.
Windows.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, Coach, you're doing some good stuff
here. Now, you got to go go two ways with windows. You got to go crossways with them, and then you got to go up and down, but with your cloth. But we can't just do it one way.
Right. Well, you know, you're talking about the apple cider vinegar on wort. Wonder if that apple cider vinegar trick would work on, like, livestock. If you had some cattle that heifers that had a few little warts on them, I bet it would work. You know, I might tell one of these cattle guys I know to give it a try.
Yeah, well, I'll call Gene Stallings. I think he's too old to
do. Yeah. Coach Stallings might validate that deal.
He'd talk to him, try to get the wart off.
I think it would probably work. Barry, I hadn't really listened to the show. I just kind of came in there. Let's give Chase a clap and a shout out for those 4-0 Mississippi State Bulldogs. You can't be any better than 4-0.
I don't think Chase is really a Mississippi State fan.
He never
wears it. He's got LSU gear on half the time, and I've never seen him in anything state. He may go to school there, but he ain't a state fan.
Yeah,
boy,
really? You don't brag about me picking Mississippi State as my blue plate.
You were tight on the money there, Coach. You're only about 2 points above it, but hey. If it clicks, brag on it. That's for sure. That's a good
one. Yeah.
I think they were 26-point favorites, Mississippi State.
No, 21.5. 21.5. You sound like Barry. 21.5.
Well, you won either way, so who cares, right? You won. Hey, but yeah, Barry, do you think Bruce Pearl did the right way to get out, or you think he? All my friends are telling me he did it so his son could get the job, and there's no doubt about that, I guess. Was that the only way you think he could assure his son would have got the Auburn job?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it was a way for him to get the job with the roster intact, to wait until the first day of practice. So he didn't decide yesterday that he was going to retire. So I think he tried to make it where his son had the best chance to be successful, and I can't blame him. If the administrators didn't let it happen that way, they probably talked to all the players, got everybody on the same page, and now Auburn can hopefully go on and have a good season. We'll see what happens. But if he had done it in the summer, those guys would have jumped out of there because people would have been plucking them out of there.
Yeah. Now, at 65, you coach and Barry, do you feel like he's done coaching?
I think he'll wake up this morning, he's going to look at his wife and say, wait a minute, what do I do? Not today, but in about 3 months, he may wake up and say, what am I going to do today now? I've undone this so many days. He lives on the lake in Lake Murray, but it's going to get cold. That lake is going to look good, but you can't do anything in it. So I think he's going to.
You're so right about that, Barry. Oh, yeah. You're so right.
Is he going to be on ESPN college basketball game?
Now, he probably could get that, and that would probably keep him busy if he gets something like that, and he would be good at it. So,
he'd be excellent at it.
He's probably got an ESPN deal already.
Yeah, I just didn't see him in Alabama winning that Senate seat in a primary race against Steve Marshall. I just didn't see that happening for him.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Alabama.
Steve Marshall be hard to beat.
Yeah. There's a lot of Alabama people, they calling them everything in the book that I know for the way he got out. But we'll leave that for another
time. I'd just be curious to know how nervous he was getting out, just tiring. Like, did that make him nervous, or was he just ecstatic about it and just knew that it was time and just did it? I'd be curious how he's really feeling on the inside.
Yeah. We know one thing that's going to sit in his craw. His last game against Alabama in the Neville Arena, Mark Sears sent him home crying.
I don't think he cares about that.
I know, but that's just something us Alabama knuckleheads can, say. We beat him the last time we played.
There you go.
So. We can't say that about Nick Saban. We beat him with a grave digger play.
Yeah.
We beat him.
Well, very rarely do you see guys go out on top like Nick Saban and Bruce Pearl, so that's rare.
Yeah, they did the right thing. I just can't see Bruce not being involved in college basketball in some form or commentating or something. But,
yeah.
We'll see. You think the Indians have got Detroit coach?
I don't know what the Indians are not. They make me so bad.
It's the Guardians, isn't it?
Barry rubs it in all the time about being the Guardians. I wish the president would get that change.
He said he was going to change the Redskins.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. But
he got a few other things he needs to worry about other than that. So. All right, Cowboy. Yeah. We got to get the break here, man.
Who do y'all like in that LSU Ole Miss game? The linebacker's dating Kiffin's daughter now, supposedly, for Ole Miss.
That's what social
media. LSU.
It's social media. Social media. So I like Ole Miss at home. You? Who you like?
I'm going to go. I've been on LSU all year. I'm going to stick with them.
All right. Call us back.
On defense.
There you go. Thank you, Cowboy. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to Tom when we get back. This is the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming
coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we're doing a Southern Owl House score prediction day for Alabama, Georgia, and a large prize package because it's a big game. We'll talk to Chris Lowe. We'll also talk to Mike Dettillier, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on a score prediction day on a Tuesday in Tuskaloosa on Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've got some major havoc on 359 on the northbound lanes just past 17th Street. That accident has traffic crawling and, well, it's blocking out several lanes. And so your backup is solid to 2059. And then we've got our issue on McFarland looking at this accident on the
east. And walkers and much more. Call the DCH Home Health Equipment Team at 205-330-3177 or learn more online at DCHsystem.com.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. A few spots could see a shower or storm this afternoon or this evening. The high today 92, tonight's low 71. Tomorrow cloudy at times, a good chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. The high 91. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 74 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room, right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. I get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom. Morning, Dave. Morning, Coach. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Hanging in.
Doing good.
You know, Coach Pearl, I was kind of shocked when I saw yesterday that he was going to retire. Then I thought about a tweet that him and his wife put out about 2 weeks ago, and they went to a grandparents' day, and they had a picture of them and their granddaughter, cutest little thing you ever seen. And I go, after I heard the news he was retiring, I go, there he is right there.
Spend more time with that granddaughter?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that he's going, life is too short not to spend time with your granddaughter.
Yeah, I think he decided this a while ago. They said he was going overseas this summer, and I don't think he's been doing much coaching. So it's just, they were looking for the best way to hand it off, and they did. The best way to keep the roster intact, they did. They got a 5-year contract, I think $2 million a year, and we'll see if Steven can do it. He got a good opportunity.
Yeah, he's got a play, but he's got a good roster, I'll say that.
Yeah.
And I think he's been pretty active in the coaching, don't you think, all along anyway.
Yeah, I don't give the people talking about he didn't have head coaching experience. Well, John Shire didn't. He's doing all right at Duke. You don't have to have that. I mean, he's been right there coaching with his dad the whole time.
I didn't either.
So, yeah, I mean, that head coaching experience thing's a little bit overrated, in my opinion. So,
well, I mean, I think, though, that he's seen a lot of success since Coach Pearl got at Auburn.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not going to be new to that. And, you know, they've had a pretty good formula for winning games, I think.
Yeah. So, should be fun. He and Nato's had a lot of respect for each other. They've grown the rivalry. We'll see if Steven can keep it going. We got to get out, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, that blue plate special, too, it'll be coming this week. That's brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. That would be Brian Harden Construction. They're your partner in industrial fabrication, steel work, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family-owned, woman-led. That's Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1337. The Gary Harris Show is next. We'll keep it locked in You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.